Today, I'd like to summarize a little bit what we have learned in order to enhance your understanding. Through your interview, I feel that some yogis still do not grasp correctly the teaching. Therefore, I feel the need to explain one more time and to clear some of the point which I need to make it clear again. In fact, today I'd like to share how to contemplate your mind. But if you cannot grasp correctly how to contemplate your feeling, and I add one more to you, that becomes too much. For this reason, I changed my subject, and I'd like to review what we have learned. Okay? First, although this time I do not teach Anapanasati, but yesterday I played the tips. Everybody got a chance to listen. And for Anapanasati to be successful, there are a few key points which I feel is very important. First, you have to practice with very relaxed mind and body, not tense up. Because the object breathing is very small, very subtle. If you tense up your mind, you are not going to make progress. You cannot fully feel the breath in a natural way. So you have to be very relaxed and don't focus too strongly on the breath. Otherwise, your nose will become stiffen, and your eyebrow are all squeezed together, and your face become very hot. Then you lose the interest to the practice. So this first point you should remember. Secondly, in order to develop concentration, we must understand the proximate cause for concentration. What is the proximate cause for concentration? Joy and happiness. Although after you gain concentration, you also will have joy and happiness. But before you gain concentration, you need to develop or arouse your joy and happiness first, so that you can very quickly go into concentration. So if you practice Anapanasati for so many years, never experience joy and happiness, then it will take you even longer time to achieve concentration. So how to make the mind light, joyful, happy in order to gain concentration? I think sometimes when a teacher say, no matter how much the teacher say, still the student cannot comprehend. Therefore, I think I better invite a student to share her experience. Then you will think, if she can do it, I also can do. Right? Okay? So let me invite Jiang Hong, come and share her experience.
你就等一下帮他翻译，你把麦给他先。非常感谢今天师父能够有机会分享我的禅修的一些体验，也感谢师兄们耐心的听我的分享。我是2018年3月开始正式学习禅修，然后一直延长现在。 中间呢，我那个学习安多念的练习，受到很多帮忙。就是烦恼其实是比较难去掉，伏羲呀或者是其他的一些。直到我随着那个修行的增加，发现有点。随着那个修行的增加呢，我发现培养起心对这个。
所以他分享的重点就是他在安般念摸索了一段时间都没有进步，到最后他发现到了原来要产生喜悦的心，就算没有再去安般念之前呢，你要想办法让你的心态轻松很喜悦，比如说我能够坐在这边，我应该感到很 highly blessed， I'm highly blessed to be able to sit here， now I'm able to meditate， I'm highly blessed，I should be very joyful. Breathing in and out is very joyful. So try to make your mind joyful when practicing Anapanasati. So if you can arouse that joy and happiness according to what she shared, then her mind immediately settled down on the breath. And when the mind, when mind settled down on the breath, then the light appeared. When the light appeared, the mind became even more radiant, more happy, and soon.She achieved deep concentration. This is what she wants to share. Okay? Okay, so this is about Anapanasati. The second meditation we have learned is four elements meditation. As I instructed you how to practice four elements meditation, I want to add some more detail. If you want to practice four elements meditation,You can sit, then start. First, you must understand what is the meaning of earth element, as we have learned already. What's the meaning of water, fire element, and wind element? Then when you start, you can start with one element, either wind or water or earth. But if you want to follow the sequence, you can start with earth element. Feel the hardness of the skull, hardness of the head. Then if you can feel already,If you cannot feel, you can use hand to touch. Can you touch? Is it hard? Hard, right? Then you remember hardness. This is how the hardness feels. Then when you remember, it becomes your perception, right? When it becomes a perception, then you can recognize. Then you start scan the body, hardness through your memory, hardness. Then go down all the.Bone, skull, bone, hardness, even sometimes the skin also hardness. Skin, bone inside, Then you, from top of the head down to the sole, you contemplate hardness, hardness. 10 rounds. Then hardness will become very clear to you. When it becomes very clear, you should change to another element. Don't continue, otherwise your whole body becomes stone, a rock. That is excessive element. That is not. It will cause discomfort in the body. Then after that, you can go to roughness. Hardness and roughness is very similar. The head, if we, you know, we rub the hair, hey, it's rough, very rough, right? I don't know your hair, because I have no hair, I feel very rough. So roughness, roughness, then you, once you understand, oh, this is called roughness. Even you don't rough, you also understand what is roughness, right? So you, that perception will help you to recognize, help you to remember and recognize. And you put into the body, and it's also actually roughness, then you will understand very soon, the whole body rough. One spot rough first, make one spot clear, roughness clear first, then you move to the whole body, part by part. Some part, if roughness is not clear, you can skip. Don't squeeze your brain, no, just skip it, because when concentration develop, what is not rough also will appear rough to you. Important that concentration will make things manifest. Okay. Then from top of the head down to the sole, 10 rounds. One round maybe 5 to 10 minutes, or 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Then you go to happiness. I think for the earth element, if you can choose 3 should be enough. No need to do 6 together. No need to do all 6. Maybe hardness, roughness, and choose one, either softness or smoothness. One enough. Then after you understand the whole body, what is mean hardness, what is mean earth element, then you change to earth, water. Water is very difficult to discern. So first you should use conventional truth. Whatever in the sutta, in the sutta, Buddha say, whatever inside the body you feel flowing, right? That's called water element. So we can know, oh, tear is flowing. So you can contemplate the flowing of the tear, although you are not crying at the time. But mind can make things real. Mind is very tricky one. If you think water, water, then your sweat also come. So mind can cause 4 elements. Mind can produce 4 elements. So tear, you reflect tear, tears is flowing, saliva is flowing. Then sweat, when you do chores, the sweat flowing, when you urinating, the urine is flowing. So you try to use that conventional truth. Sweat, tears, blood, all these are called conventional truth. So you use conventional truth to understand the characteristic of water element that is flowing. And then finally you will see like flowing, whole body like flowing. Then you understand the flowing, you move to the second characteristic of water element is cohesion. Cohesion, tightness. So you can hold your palm like tightness. Because of this cohere together, it become tight. Then you hold your palm, you feel whole body tight. Then you feel this is water element. Then when you understand the water element, you move to the third one. The Tawi Apo Tejo, fire element. Fire element is very easy to discern because the weather is so hot. And you sit in the aircon room, you feel the cold. All these both are fire element. Or you can feel the bodily temperature. We have 37 degrees of bodily temperature. You can feel the bodily temperature and regard it as fire element. From top of the head down to the sole for about 10 times, 10 rounds. Until you thoroughly understand fire element, then you move to another one, which is wind element. Wind element upward, Buddha say upward wind, downward wind. And the wind that move inside the bowel, And the flexing, stretching the hand, flexing the hand and the limbs and so on. Or supporting, which support the body to stand still, support your body to sit straight. All these are called wind elements. Or breathing in, breathing out. When you breathe in, the air push up, right? Push up to the head, also wind element. Or the heartbeat is also wind element. So you can start with breathing. When you see the air push up, then you contemplate wind element. Then and continue to breathe, you will feel the chest beating. It's also wind element. Then move down, you see the abdomen rising and falling. It's also wind element. Up to the soul, again and again, until you understand. When you understand, then you repeat again. Up element again, from top of the head, down to the soul. Until it become clear, then move to the water, then move to the fire, move to the wind. When your discernment, when your understanding of four elements become very, very clear, then your insight become very fast. Very fast. The moment you say earth, then whole body becomes stone ready. It becomes faster and faster. Then after that, when the element becomes so fast, you don't have to move from top of the head down to the soul. You take the whole body as one, Just like you stand on top of the hill, you look down, you see a house. You don't differentiate, this is the roof, this is the wood, this is the pillar, you don't think like that. You see the house as one. So you see the whole body as one, take it as a one, not top, not from head to the soul again, not from head to the soul anymore. Take it as one, then you listen whatever hardness you feel. Then earth element, whatever flowing or cohesion you feel, then you regard it as water element. Whatever heat and cold you feel in the whole body as one, then you contemplate it as fire element. And whatever movement inside the body, rising and falling or heartbeat, whatever movement you feel inside the body is called wind element. So you will see it again and again and again. And when your insight becomes sharper and again, sometimes when you see earth element, you also will see fire element. You also will see wind element or water element. So when you see one, it becomes, you see two, three together. This means that your insight becomes sharper, your discernment, your mindfulness becomes more alert and more, sharper and sharper. So when you see it again and again, gradually you lose the perception of body. You cannot see the body anymore. You only see this four element. And this four element also keep on changing. And to somebody, to an extent, they only see particles. When you discern four element to the end, they only see particles vibrating, rising, passing away, vibrating here and there. There's no bodily form anymore. Then at that time you can contemplate non-myself, right? How can this all particles vibrating, arising and passing away myself? Not possible. If it's myself, I can ask them to stop. But they cannot. It's uncontrollable. What is uncontrollable is a characteristic of anatta, non-self. I remember there was a yogi when she listened for elements meditation to the point that he really cannot see body, cannot see self anymore. Because we regard body as self. We also regard mind, our mind as self. So when she discerns four elements, she cannot see the body, no more form, no hand, no head, only particles, or only four elements arising and passing away. See, when you reach this stage, will you feel happy or do you feel fearful? Fearful? How come? Isn't that is the end of the meditation? Isn't this the goal we want to achieve? But when we achieve the goal, how come it's not happiness? How come you become tearful? Attached to what? So when you reach that stage, for most people, disregard whether it's a woman or man, okay? Then this yogi come to me crying and crying. I say, what's wrong? You see, he sees this form, the body, no more body, only four elements arising, passing away, or particles vibrating, arising and passing away, no more body. Then I said, congratulations. He said, no. He's so frightening, very, very frightening. Why? Because so long, it has been long time we identify body as self. There's something you can hold on to, something you can rely on. Suddenly, no more body. And through your insight, through your own practical experience, you see no more body. No more body means no more self, right? If you identify body as self, when you see no body, then it means no self anymore. So suddenly, what you cling to along the round of samsara for so many lifetimes, now no more. That is stir your emotion. Yeah? Your emotion is being stirred. To us, we already understand non-self. We will be very happy. Yeah? But for those who have strong clinging or attachment to a self, they end up crying. And for some men, also another man, when he see practice these four elements meditation, when he start to see no self, he also feel very fearful and frightening, and he say, I want to stop. He want to stop meditating. He cannot accept this non-self. Is it the self exists or not? How do you answer? Is it self exist or not? No. So when self no exist, and when you see no self, then it should be happy, right? You have realized what the Buddha taught. So why people feel so fearful? So if self does not exist, why we identify body as self? Why? Delusion. Not seeing things correctly. Imagination. Right? We imagine body as self. It has been long, many lifetimes, we have imagined body as self. Now we see the true nature of thing, body is not self. And we become frightened. Seeing truth become frightened. So we prefer living in our own delusion. This delusion is our comfort zone. Much more comfortable. Right? Stay having regard body as self, much more comfortable than seeing body has no self. Okay. So to tell you this is to share with you this is to tell you, when you practice four elements towards the end, you will see non-self nature of your body. And if I share with you how to contemplate the mind, different type of mind, anger mind, jealousy mind, greed mind, you will see also non-self nature of the mind. Then you will see non-self nature of mind and body. That even more frightened. Right? Body is no self already frightened. Mind also no self. How to live the world? Even more fearful. Not to speak us. Having lived so far away from Buddha's time. Even during Buddha's time, this non-self nature, non-self teaching is also very fearful to somebody. One day, there was one sectarian outside the Buddha's teaching, not the Buddha's disciple, who practiced another way. And he came to the Buddha and asked Buddha, is it self? Is it self or not? Buddha keep quiet. Is it non-self? Buddha keep quiet. Is it neither self or non-self? Buddha keep quiet. Then this sectarian, this different sect, the yogi, very unsatisfied, and shake his head. Indian like to shake head one, shake, then shake his head and go away. And Ananda stand near the Buddha. Ananda was very anxious. Then he said, Venerable Sir, why you don't answer him? This question is so easy for you to answer. Why didn't you answer him? Then Buddha, being a wise teacher, a skillful teacher, he said that if I say that is self, this against my teaching, and I'm telling lies, right? According to my insight, I see no self. So I cannot tell him that is a self. If I say no self, then Buddha said, this deluded man strongly cling to the self. If I told him in front of me, I told him non-self, then his mind will go mad. He will lose his clarity of mind and become crazy. And he will, you know, end up with confusion, you know, craziness. And he will say, previously I have self, now I have no more self. Then who am I? Then he will go crazy. In order to not to let him become crazy, so I have to keep silent. I cannot answer him. I cannot tell him the truth. Simply, the time is not right yet. The time is not right for him to tell him there's no self. But he is not Buddha's follower. He is not Buddha's follower. You all are the Buddha's follower. You have been listening non-self again and again, so you will not be shocked when listening now. But when actually experiencing, it still will be shocked. Okay? But if you listen a million times, when you really experience, you will not be shocked. So, why I quote Buddha's this example, just to tell you, even during Buddha's time, people are so close to Buddha, they still cannot accept there's no self. Not to speak first, so far away from Buddha's 2600 away. So if you're afraid of no self, then you should not practice Four Elements Meditation. Go back to Anapana, okay? Okay. So I want to add in one more knowledge, also to see non-self one, to you. That's during eating time, during meal time. As I have instructed to you how to contemplate when you're chewing, you contemplate wind element. Or when the food touches the tongue, you feel hot. That is called fire element. You feel roughness. Some food are very rough, right? Like today, the lao huang gua, the pi ya. So the skin is very rough. So when you touch the tongue, you feel roughness. So you contemplate this as earth element. Then when you chew enough, then the saliva start to flow. It's called water element. Then after that you push down. It's wind element. So you listen Four Elements again and again during your meal time. Now I want to add some more information to your knowledge. That's how to discern the five aggregates during meal time. Okay, so now you understand form aggregate. Let us understand what are the five aggregates first. Number one is called form aggregate, which is the Four Elements. Now you already understand. Now, second is called feeling aggregate, which I also share with you how to contemplate feeling. So when the food, when you chew the time, when the taste completely come out from the food, you feel pleasant. Not to say chewing. Sometimes the moment the food touch the tongue, you already feel pleasant already. Right? So when you feel pleasant, who feels this pleasantness of the food? Pleasant feeling, yes. Pleasant feeling. So at this moment, you should contemplate pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling. On top of the four elements, you contemplate pleasant feeling, or feeling, pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling. This is called feeling aggregate. Then, when you again chew the food, do you perceive the food, whether it's soft, whether it's hard, whether it's sour, whether it's salty, whether it's spicy or not? Do you perceive it? Yes or no? Yes. So who perceives this? Perception. Perception. Okay. So you understand. Perception, perceivable is sour, is tasty, is sweet, is salty, is hard, is soft. So perception make a mark so that it can recognize. When you taste this sour, second time you can remember. Otherwise, how can you remember? So all this perception helps you to recognize in order to helps you to mark in order to recognize in the future. So whenever you know, you can perceive this hardness, this softness, this sour, sweet, this is called perception aggregate. Okay. So then when you chew the tongue, when the feeling arises, pleasant feeling arises, do you crave for it? You want it more again? You want it more and more? Yes or no? This is called craving, right? Craving. Every craving, correct karma. So we already make karma. We already perform karma rooted in craving. This is called formation, sankhara. And how you know there's a taste? Because of consciousness, tongue consciousness. Tongue consciousness know there is a taste. There is taste. Without tongue consciousness, if you cut your tongue, normal tongue, you cannot know what taste is it. So because there's tongue consciousness that knows the taste, this consciousness aggregate. So one chewing, you see, one biting or one chewing, you see all five aggregates together. What are the five? Form aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, formation aggregate, and consciousness aggregate. So in the whole process of eating, you also cannot find a person. You also cannot find man, woman. It's just a working together of the five aggregate. So if you already understand the four elements by way of eating, you should add feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, formation aggregate, and consciousness aggregate again and again. During breakfast, during time, again and again, until you only feel this five aggregate without seeing a person, woman, and man. Then you get even more frightened. Okay, after frightened, the knowledge will come on. Even frightened also cannot run away, right? The five aggregates remain there, you cannot run away from it. Then again and again, when you see more and more, your mind become more equanimous, more stable already, not shaky so strongly. Become more equanimous and see things as they really are. So this, one more lesson you have to work during meal time tomorrow. Okay. Next, we also have talked about feeling. Feeling, how to contemplate feeling. Let me repeat. Now there are three types of feeling: pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So when feeling arises, how should you contemplate? First, arouse mindfulness. Sati. First, arouse mindfulness, aware of arising of pleasant feeling, aware of arising of unpleasant feeling. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant is very difficult. You can put aside first, but these two are very easy to observe because it's very clear. Pleasant feeling make the mind very delighted. Unpleasant feeling make the mind shrink. So it's very easy to listen. So you just raise your mindfulness, aware, unpleasant feeling has arisen. Then how should you contemplate? Mentally note. Mentally say. Because some people still don't know how to contemplate, although I keep on telling the same thing again and again. mentally say pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling, or if it is unpleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. Why should we say like that? If we do not say like that, then we will think unpleasant feeling as myself, pleasant feeling as myself, right? When you think pleasant feeling as myself, then you are strengthening the perception of self even more and far away from our goal. Our goal is want to see non-self, right? Therefore, you have to not mentally say, unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling, tell many times. When you tell many times already, then you pause, check whether that unpleasant feeling has disappeared or increased or decreased or completely gone. You have to check first. If gone already, what should we say? Yeah, impermanent, gone already, impermanent, vanishing, passing away. Then if you can say like that, it leaves a mark in the heart. Feeling is impermanent. If you do not say like that, it won't leave a mark in the heart. It won't leave imprint in the heart. Then your perception of impermanent will not become strong, will not take hold. Okay? But if it does not disappear, then it increases. Then what should you say? Then you should say changing, change already, right? Change from the light to heavy, from the less pain to more pain, or from the less happy to more happy. So then you should say changing, changing, changing. Changing also tell you nothing is permanent. Also convey the message, nothing is permanent. Changing, changing, changing. And if your mindfulness is continuous, then you follow the feeling up to the end. Up to the end is disappear. Nothing is permanent. Buddha's teaching for 45 years, Sabbe Sankara Anicca, nothing is permanent. Everything is changing. All formations are impermanent. But sometimes we cannot see it's impermanent because your mindfulness is, what do you call it, is breaking here and there. Your mindfulness is not continuous. Maybe you say unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling, then sometimes distraction might carry away by something. By our mind carried away by imagination, by fear, by worry, the pain may hurt me, and by thoughts. Therefore, you cannot see, you cannot chase the feeling up to the end because your mind has been distracted. Your mind has been carried away by something else. Then you lose your mindfulness towards the feeling. Therefore, you cannot see the change of the feeling. So, continuous mindfulness is very important. And so this call first arouse your mindfulness. Secondly, when you see a feeling as feeling, feeling, pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling, then secondly, you can change your words. Mentally say, because you want to see it's vanishing. Right? So mentally say, vanishing, vanishing. Although 2 days ago, I have already shared, but through the interview, the yogis still tell me that they don't know how to contemplate. So how to contemplate? Just mentally say. Mentally say, vanishing, vanishing at the same time. Incline your mind. Incline your mind to see it's vanishing. However, you should remember, not every time when you mentally say vanishing, vanishing, then it passes away. Not every time you succeed. So when you are not succeed, what does it mean? What does it mean? When you say vanishing, vanishing, it does not pass away. What does it mean? Simply because your mindfulness is not strong. Your mindfulness and your wisdom is not strong and sharp yet. So although you say vanishing, it does not pass away. But practice makes perfect, right? If I teach you that vanishing, then now everybody experience pain. Everybody say vanishing, already all pain gone. Wow, then this practice becomes so easy, right? Why should I suffer 8 hours to see the pain? Simply because we don't have enough practice yet. So our mindfulness, our concentration, our insight is not strong, not piercing, not penetrating. Therefore, we cannot see. Doesn't mean that the pain is permanent. Huh? The pain is there, but it's arising and passing away. But our insight, our mindfulness, wisdom are not sharp, so we cannot penetrate and see it's arising and passing away. Therefore, it appears to us like very stable, very solid pain, very stable there. Simply because we've not yet reached that state. Therefore, we keep on training our mind, keep on incline our mind to see it's vanishing with faith and confidence. Because that's what Buddha said. Sabbe sankhara anicca, right? With this faith and confidence, and through the continuous practice and make it a perfect, then very soon you will see it's vanishing. But some of my students, very quick, they say vanishing, immediately he can see it passing away. Of course, not everyone. So you need to make it a habit, practice again and again until it becomes your habitual reaction. Whatever arises, you know is vanishing, is non-self, and so on. So apart from noticing, apart from contemplating vanishing, passing away, you also sometimes you can change by contemplating not myself. You may ask again how to contemplate. Mentally note first. When you mentally note again and again through the practice, soon you will realize that phenomena does not belong to you. But for the first time, we are not so familiar and our mindfulness, concentration and insight not strong yet. So although we say not myself, it looks still belong to me, especially pain. Right? I say 10 times already, 100 times, not myself, why I still feel the pain? If you still feel the pain, it's okay. So long your mind does not affected by the pain. Buddha also feel the pain, right? Sariputta also feel the pain. Buddha also got diarrhea. He also suffered physical pain. But his mind does not shake. His mind is not affected. So to have no bodily pain is impossible. Please be practical. It's not possible. But if we can say, not myself, let's say we incline our mind to separate the pain with a self. Not myself, having the body, there is pain. Then gradually you can see the mind does not attach to the pain. When the mind does not attach to the pain, then the pain remains, but your mind is unaffected. This is almost Arahant state already. Okay? Arahant also got pain, but the mind is not unaffected. This, we can achieve this state. That's by Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention, to see it vanishing, to see it not myself, 10 times, 20 times, until you feel that, you really detach from yourself. Then your mind will not affect it. So this is the way how to contemplate pleasant feeling and unpleasant feeling. Then I want to add in a little bit more. Since we are going, soon we are going to live. In our daily life, what are the refinements that arise most in you? What are the emotion state or refinement that arise very frequent in you? Which one? Greed. Fears. Then some more? anger, irritation. Okay. So when it arises, how should you contemplate? All this, first we must understand, all this fear, agitation, anger, greed, lust, worry, anxiety. First, we must understand all these are mental states. Right? Understand this point first. All these are mental states that arise due to causes. Nothing arises without causes. All this point you must understand first. Otherwise, your meditation will not be effective. Huh? All these are mental states. They arise due to causes and they are not always there, right? How can a person angry for 10 hours? He will die because of fire element. So it's not possible. But it arises due to trigger, some trigger make this person feel very angry. So it arises due to certain cause. Then when this trigger gone already, the anger subside. So when anger subside, this means what? Impermanent, right? Impermanent. And when the anger disappears, this also means anger is not myself. If anger were self, let's say I'm angry for 20 minutes. And if anger were myself, when anger disappear, when anger subside, I should die together with anger. When anger pass away, I should also pass away with anger. But after 20 minutes, I start to laugh. It means that I do not die. And the emotion has changed from anger become happy. Right? And if I identify happy is myself, when my happiness gone, then I must die together again. But after happiness, then I become sad again. So if I identify sadness as myself, then when sadness disappears, I also must die with sadness. But I do not die again. And another emotion, anxiety, arises. So if I identify anxiety as myself, when my anxiety is gone, then I must die together with anxiety. So if I experience 10 times, 10 types of emotions in one day, arising, passing away, if they were self, I die 10 times already. Right? But I do not die. What does it mean? It means all these emotions, all these mental states are not yourself. You think yourself is your own imagination, your own wrong view, your own clinging, your own attachment, and your own not seeing things correctly. Therefore, you should, when this emotion arises, you should say, oh, it's cause, condition, arising phenomena. It's just a condition arising, conditional arising phenomena. Just contemplate in that way so that you will not clutch it as yourself. This is very helpful in our daily life. Soon we will go back home, so many emotions come up to attack you. So the moment it arises, mentally tell yourself, it's just a conditional phenomena. Yin yuan sen fa. Just a conditional phenomena, not myself. Only then you can separate yourself with that emotion, then you are safe. You will not be attacked by that emotion. Okay, this is the last thing I want to share with you. Okay, good.